Good afternoon from the University of Southern California, and welcome to Annenberg Radio News for Tuesday, April 7th, 2015. I'm Maya Williams. The Los Angeles Department of Water and Power is looking for ways to meet the mandatory water restrictions ahead of the July deadline. Sarah Mitchell reports.
The DWP board proposed new ideas for water rationing. This includes lowering household lawn watering from 3 to 2 days a week to charging additional fines on large water bills. Director of Water Resources Dave Pedion says one of the biggest issues to tackle is monitoring water use for specific tenants in apartment buildings.
There are a lot of multifamily residential apartment complexes where people, the homeowner, the apartment owner pays the water bill. Well, so we reach out to those owners and we talk to them about all the things that they can do to reduce water use by installing water efficient devices inside that property.
According to the State Water Resources Control Board, Southern Californians cut water usage by a meager 2.3% in February. This is the worst rate of conservation in the area since the state started keeping track. Governor Brown proposed the state cut water usage by 25%. This takes effect July 1st. Sarah Mitchell, Annenberg Radio News.
Hundreds marched in different areas of Los Angeles today to demand justice for lives lost at the hands of law enforcement officers. Emily May Zakor has the story.
No justice!
No peace! This morning, protesters in the march Remember Me, Death by Cop rallied toward downtown LA to convene in front of the County Hall of Administration. The protest was organized by two activist groups, United Families for Justice and the Youth Justice Coalition. It included the friends and families of at least 617 people that were killed by LAPD officers in the last 15 years.
Today, I'm marching for eval. It's bigger than what we all think it is.
Participants carried 617 cardboard coffins to symbolize the lives lost. Captain Brian Pratt of the Rampart Division of LAPD says police already have a system in place to deal with acts of violence against the public.
As a captain, I think we have a set of rules, policies, a constitution in place to review and adjudicate all such incidents where it involves use of force.
Protesters hope the marches will prompt policymakers to start holding officers accountable for police brutality in LA County. Emily May Zakor, Annenberg Radio News.
The city of Los Angeles is increasing bus lanes to improve public transportation. Sarah Hansen reports.
Los Angeles can soon expect 5 more miles of bus lanes along Wilshire Boulevard. Mayor Eric Garcetti and Metro have teamed up to improve the efficiency of public transportation in order to make the daily commute easier for Angelenos.
It's about time that LA got its fair share, that we fixed congestion, that we fixed our roads, that we improve our rail and bus service, including right now extending Gold Line service to the east, bring the Expo Line and the subway to the west side, connecting our lines through downtown.
County Supervisor Mark Ridley-Thomas says,
moving into a future where choice for commuters and for people who want to go from point A to point B is going to be our primary consideration. Building a city and a region where you have more opportunities to get around than just a single occupancy vehicle.
The bus lanes will cut down on traffic during the peak hours of the daily commute. Angelenos can expect to see more developments in ways that local government and Metro are trying to make public transportation more convenient. Sarah Hansen, Annenberg Radio News.
The LA County Board of Supervisors voted today in favor of increased access to subsidized housing. County Supervisors Sheila Kuehl and Mark Ridley-Thomas proposed the changes allowing more people to qualify for Section 8 housing. The motion brings in people on probation and parole, and those with drug convictions older than 2 years. Here's Supervisor Sheila Kuehl.
Lessening these restrictions actually just provides more housing options for those released from custody, many suffering from mental illness.
Former convicts spoke today in favor of the measure, but many in subsidized housing opposed it. They're afraid the changes will bring crime closer to home. But the proposal is unlikely to change things soon. 43,000 applicants are already on the waiting list for Section 8 housing. At the current rate of turnover, it would take about 35 years to find spots for everyone on that list, not including any new applicants. While Saudi-led airstrikes against Houthi rebels in Yemen continue, some LA activists say the U.S. State Department isn't doing enough to help Americans trapped in the conflict zone. Taylor Haney reports.
The website stuckinyemen.com went live last week. It's collecting information on U.S. citizens trying to leave the Middle Eastern country. One of the groups involved with the site is the Council of American Islamic Relations, or CARE.
That's just been very disappointing.
Ojala Ahmad is the Los Angeles chapter's communications coordinator.
A lot of the U.S. citizens who've been in that area now just feel like that their countries and their government has abandoned them.
So CARE and other groups are stepping in with StuckInYemen.com. Ahmad says no one from L.A. has sent in their information yet, but several from Northern California have, along with more than 200 others. India, Russia, and China have evacuated their citizens. The State Department has rescued its employees, but its website says the U.S. has no plans to get its citizens out. It's been sending emails to tell Americans how to flee. Recent alerts were for Indian naval ships and buses to Djibouti. Taylor Haney, Annenberg Radio News.
Rock and Roll Hall of Famer B.B. King was hospitalized for dehydration this morning at a Las Vegas hospital. King's dehydration was caused by his type 2 diabetes. According to the L.A. Times, B.B. King's daughter said the 89-year-old guitarist is doing much better. 100 years ago today, jazz icon Billie Holiday was born. Derek Renfro has more.
Lady Day's career first began in 1933, when record producer John Hammond discovered her at the age of 18. For 4 years prior to Hammond hearing Holiday, she sang in a brothel, which employed her and her mother. By the late 1930s, Holiday had become an established artist in the recording industry and on the radio. In 1939, Holiday first performed her song Strange Fruit about the lynching of black men in the South. The song had a major impact on audiences and gave push to the anti-lynching movements of the era. Though the song was forbidden to be broadcast on the radio and was rejected by Columbia Records as too inflammatory. Holiday insisted on recording Strange Fruit, and it became her signature song and was later selected for the Grammy Hall of Fame in 1978. Like many jazz artists of the day, drug abuse took its toll on Holiday's career. She spent a year in prison and had her cabaret card revoked for drug possession. Holiday died on July 17, 1959, at age 44.
That was ARN's Derek Renfro. If you've ever wondered about the origins of curious words and phrases, here's Matt Tanako with today's Root Source.
I think I could really go for a burrito.
Burritos. Those tasty, trendy, tortilla-wrapped creations everyone seems to love so much these days. But it turns out the origin of the word burrito is somewhat of a mystery. Literally, burrito is a combination of the Spanish word for donkey, burro, and the suffix ito, signifying that something is small. So if we're being precise, a burrito is really just a small donkey. Obviously, burritos are not small donkeys, but there are a couple of stories floating around trying to explain the origin of the word. One is about a man named Juan Mendez, who, as the story goes, used a donkey to pull a food cart from where he sold tortilla-wrapped meals. The word supposedly came from the association. Another says the name came from the resemblance the food has to donkey's ears, or perhaps the sort of likeness shared by the food and the rolled-up packs often carried by donkeys. So really, we don't know where the word came from, but what we do know is that burritos are delicious.
Nearly 4 years ago, ARN executive producer Victor Figueroa studied abroad in the Czech Republic. During that time, he created an audio postcard of some of the most visited places in Prague. This is a shortened version of that piece.
Today, I embark on a journey across the city of Prague. Where it ends? Well, I'll tell you later. But right now, let's start here, in front of Prague's legendary Charles Bridge. From the bridge, you can see the most beautiful view of Prague Castle. The sunlight pierces the clouds, perfectly reflecting off the river water, as music plays in the background. In front of me is the statue of St. John of Nepomuk, one of 30 statues on the bridge. People come to touch the statue for good luck. Excuse me, sir? What good luck are you looking for by rubbing the statue?
I think there is a hope of good luck, and if someone puts the hand one side from the other, it will bring us happiness or something like that. I hope that. everyone hopes happiness.
As I walk up the steps leading to Prague Castle, I hear the sweet symphonic music of a violin. From this hill of steps, you can see all of Prague. The view is a beautiful combination of city and nature. Two men dressed in blue stand outside the Prague Castle gates, gates that guard the Czech crown jewels, where royalty, emperors, kings once resided, and where the current president now lives, inside the pink building next to St. Vitus Cathedral. Walking down from the castle, I pass several tram stops that decorate Prague as I get closer to Old Town. When I finish crossing Manusov Most, a bridge that leads to Charles University, the tick of a traffic light fades behind me. And here at Old Town Square, you can find everything for the holiday season. Chestnuts roasting, people conversing, food frying, and little trinkets being sold everywhere. And of course, some music to soothe the soul. Hi, what brings you here to Old Town Square?
Well, I'm a huge people watcher, and so watching the masses of people coming across here all taking photos and looking at things and the different things that catch their attention, I love that. It's as much an attraction as the things they're looking at.
And now, I think it's about time I end my journey. Here in a classroom is where my journey ends. A classroom at New York University's Prague location. I can't speak for everyone and how they feel about Prague, but for me, the experience, the magic, the serene feeling of being at peace, well, that was right outside the classroom door.
That piece was produced by Victor Figueroa. Rand Paul announced his run as a Republican candidate for the presidency in 2016. Log on to AnnenbergRadio.org for that story. That's it for today. We had help today from Taylor Villanueva, Leslie Noy, and Denise Guerra. Our board operator is Derek Renfro. Holly Thompson is the newscast producer, and the executive producer is Taylor Haney. For all of us here at Annenberg Radio News, I'm Maya Williams.